Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Job, chapter 13. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 577, 577. The book of Job, starting with verse 6, we'll read through verse 12. We'll read these verses responsively. Once more, Job chapter 13, page 577 in your Schofield Bible, verses 6 through 12. The 12th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Let's stand, please, all of us standing. Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God, and talk deceitfully for him? Will ye accept his person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that he should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock him? He will surely reprove you, if ye do secretly accept persons. Shall not his excellency make you afraid, and his dread fall upon you? And let's read together also the text verse, the 12th. Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. And let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful day. Wonderful because we get to come to church. We get to hear the preaching of your word. Our privilege is great. Certainly our responsibility also is great. Give us attention now to the preaching, to our preacher. You've raised him up for this hour. You've given him that which you want him to say to thy people. Great is our responsibility to hear. Help us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our brother Colston read with us a while ago a verse in the book of Job. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, remember the ashes. Remember the ashes. I think you'll be informed, and I think blessed, if you'll listen very carefully. Our Heavenly Father, I come today to bring the message for these moments. Bless me as I speak, and our people as they hear. Amen. Let me remind you again that this being the Lord's Supper Day, we're just running a tad late, but not as late as usual. I promise you again that we will be out. I'll be finished preaching before 12:10, and I think much before that. I also promise you that we'll be on our way before 12:30. I do want to say something I forgot to say a while ago, and that is I'll not be able to see people this morning, anybody, except those who want to set wedding dates. This is the morning that we set wedding dates for those who want to do so. So if you want to set a wedding date, you meet me after the service. Otherwise, I'll not be able to see anyone. Every once in a while, somebody will come to me and they'll say, Brother Hiles, how can I forget my past? It's always before me. How can I forget my past? Let's settle down. Everybody settle down. Let's have a prayer again, please. Father, bless us now and settle us down and calm us. Help us to listen attentively to what God has to say. Amen. Just about 4 weeks ago, I was preaching in another state. And a fellow walked up and said, Brother Hiles, I've got a problem. My past is always in my mind. How can I forget my past? He said, I've lived an awful life before I got saved. And he said, I can't forget it. It's always before me. And I said, my dear brother, I don't want you to forget your past. I want you to remember your past. I want you to realize that God has forgotten it. But I want you to remember your past. Because in doing so, it will prevent you from making the same mistake again. The Jews had a custom that when they would seek forgiveness of sin, or after they had wasted some life or done something wrong, they would repent, and the Bible says, in sackcloth and ashes. So many things are said in the Bible about it. 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 19, it says that Tamar, after she had been defiled, She put ashes on her head. Now, what that means is, I have no doubt, but that she had some kind of little covering. She put ashes on that covering and put that covering on her head and had ashes on her head. In Job chapter 2, after Job had gone through the awful trial of losing everything, in Job chapter 2 and verse 8, it says that Job sat among the ashes. I think I'll use this mic this morning. And it says that Job sat among the ashes. In Job 42 and verse 6, Job was repenting because he had gotten proud and God had given him a lesson that he had to learn. And Job went out, and the Bible says he repented in ashes. In Psalm 102, verse 9, the psalmist said, I have eaten ashes like bread. In Isaiah 61 and 3, it says, to give them beauty for ashes. That word, beauty for ashes, implies a garland or a lei, like you have if you go to Hawaii. You have a lei, oftentimes, that you wear around your neck. And God said that He can take that the lay of ashes and make them beautiful. And I'll come back to that after a while. In Jeremiah 6:26, Jeremiah was talking to the people of God because of their sins, and he admonished them to wallow thyself in ashes. In Lamentations 3:16, it says, that's when Jeremiah had watched the city be destroyed, and watched the people go into captivity. The wall had been leveled, the houses destroyed, the temple destroyed. Jeremiah said, He hath covered me with ashes. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3, it says, He sat down in sackcloth and ashes. In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 6, after Jonah had sinned, it says that Jonah sat in ashes. You'll find the same thing in Matthew 11:21, Luke 10:13, Esther 4:1. Now, why ashes? Don't forget this. Ashes are the remains of fuel. They are the remains of fuel to show that earth's joys are temporary. That's all ashes are. They're the remains of fuel. Something has burned and that something leaves ashes. And God says to us, says to Job, you've sinned. I want you to remember your sins, lest you do the same. But I want you to remember them as they really are. Don't remember the joy that you had and the pleasure you had. Remember the ashes after it's all over. You see, a life for God has no ashes. A life for the devil has ashes. Oh, you'll have fun while the fire burns, while the fire of passion burns, and you give yourself to evil passions. You'll have pleasure. The Bible said that Moses chose to suffer affliction of the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin. And I want to say that sin is fun. I'm not saying that sin is no fun. I'm saying it, but it goes on to say, for a season. You see? Sin is fun. It said he chose to suffer affliction for the people of God rather than to suffer the pleasures, or to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, living in sin, enjoy yourself. It's just for a season. Let me remind you, fellas, drinking your liquor, enjoy yourself. It's just for a season. Let me remind you, ladies, selling your body for a paltry sum to the lustful hands of wicked men. Enjoy yourself. There'll be some delight. There'll be some pleasure. There'll be some ecstasy. There'll be some thrill. But it's just for a season. Because after a while, all you have left is ashes. Ladies and gentlemen, I spend my life with people who've enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season and bring their ashes to my study. And we look and see nothing but ruin. And God is simply saying here, after you've come out of sin and I've forgiven you, don't forget the ashes that it left you. Sometimes those ashes were worn around the neck. Brother Sisson's going to help me here. I have made here, or I had made for me, a garland of ashes. One of these days, Brother Sisson's going to find them. And he's going to put the garland of ashes around his neck. These are literal ashes on flowers. Isn't that cute? Now, why did the Jew wear ashes around his neck? Look down, you can see them. And you can feel them. And you can see what sin does. Now, at one time, these were lovely flowers. And one time, these flowers were radiant and beautiful. But now there's nothing left but ashes. And God says this morning, I want you to not forget the ashes. Oh, it's so easy to look back at your life of sin and remember the happiness. Remember the nightclub and the beautiful garments and the exciting lust of the flesh and the appetite being fulfilled. But I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God in heaven is telling you this morning, you live your life in sin, you live your life outside the will of God, you live your life with the rock music crowd, you live your life with the drinking crowd, you live your life with the Hollywood crowd, you live your life with the Broadway crowd, and you'll have fun now, but that's the way it's going to look one of these days. And God says to His people, keep, and the Jews would do this, that wear the ashes around their neck to remind themselves of what sin was really like. Then on occasion, they would, God said, that they would wear the ashes on their heads. What they would do, they would take a hat of some kind, and the ashes were placed on that hat. Now that was to remind the Jew of his sins, to remind the Jew of the way it ended. And that's the way it always ends. I sat in my office this week, and one after one they came in who had enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season, who had enjoyed the pleasures of liquor for a season, who had enjoyed the pleasures of illicit sex for a season, who had enjoyed the pleasures of premarital sex for a season. And I'm not going to say it's no fun. I'm going to say it is fun, but that's the way it ends. Nothing left but ashes. The devil is a dirty liar. Don't believe his advertisements. Don't believe his garbage in the magazine. That's where it all ends up. Then, there was a third thing that they wore. They wore coats of ashes. They wore garlands of ashes around their neck. They wore ashes on their heads. And then they wore coats of ashes. And these are real ashes. We burn things, and these are real ashes. By the way, I promised Mr. Sisson I'll buy him a new suit if you'll let me destroy this one for him. A suit of underwear, that is. Wish I'd have gotten a smaller guy. Could have been worse. I could have used Keith McKinney. So, this is the way the Jew would often dress. He'd walk down the street with a hat of ashes, reminding him what sin left. He'd walk down the street with a garland of ashes around his neck, reminding him of what sin left. He'd walk down the street with a coat of ashes on his body, reminding him of what sin left. And I want to tell you something. You sinners back here, you listen to that crowd up there at Great Lakes. You listen to the drinking crowd. You watch the flowing skirts of the harlot. And you go ahead and have your pleasure, but that's where it's going to end up. You truck drivers over here, you go ahead and live like the world does. And you stop at these little restaurants, and some little whore will come in there and try to seduce you. And there's the liquor bottle and the wine when it's red. And there's the cigarette and there's the narcotics. Go right ahead. But this is the way it's going to end up. I'm not telling you I think this is the way it's going to end up. I've been preaching for 50 years. I K-N-O-W. No, that's where it's going to end up. If we don't remind ourselves, and that's what that's all about. Just be seated with that on, if you would, Brother Sisson. And by the way, don't forget to clean the chair this afternoon sometime, Brother Sisson. And the carpet, too. Your new suit's at stake here. That's to remind yourself of. See, if you don't watch out, you'll just remember the fun you had. You'll remember the liquor, but you and the ecstasy of being out of this world and inebriated, but you won't remember the hangover you had. David will remember the beauty of Bathsheba, but not the death of his baby if he doesn't watch out. And that's what the ashes are for. David, don't forget the death of that baby. Don't forget when you laid that little baby in the ground. Don't forget it. But if you don't watch out, David, you'll just remember the beauty of Bathsheba. And before you know it, you'll go back to some other Bathsheba because you'll forget the ashes. So easy for Lot to remember the beauty of Sodom and forget those two little illegitimate children that came through a sex that he had with his own two daughters. It's so easy for Lot to remember that he was the mayor of Sodom or city councilman
Sodom, and the well-watered plains toward Sodom, and that beautiful farm that he had there in Sodom, and that beautiful area, that Garden of Eden-like area down close to Sodom. But Lot, it's put those ashes on so you'll not forget the little illegitimate children running around the house that are born to your daughters by your own lust and your own sin. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, show me the person who's lived a life in sin who had anything left but ashes. Show me. Go to the grave of Elvis Presley and see what's there. Ashes. Go to the grave of Marilyn Monroe and see what's there. Ashes. Go to the grave of Alan Ladd and see what's there. Ashes. I don't care how much popularity you have, how much fun you have. It's going to end right there. And God said, don't forget the ashes of it all. It's so easy for Noah to remember the ecstasy of his drunkenness and not the curse placed upon his son's descendants. It's so easy for the Jews to remember the security of Egypt and forget the slavery in the brick factories. It's so easy for Samson to remember the lap of Delilah and not the grinding at the wheel and the blindness at the wheel. It's so easy for the prodigal son to remember the pleasures of the far country and forget the hog pen. It's so easy for Esau to remember how good the chili tasted and not the loss of his birthright. It's so easy for Judas Iscariot to remember the touch of the silver and not his bitter remorse. It's so easy for Gomer to remember the thrill of the flesh and not the slave market when she was old, had nothing left but the ashes of her life. It's so easy for Solomon to remember his beautiful women in his harem and not remember the bitter end of his life. It's so easy for Abraham to remember the ecstasy with Hagar and not the birth of Ishmael. It's easy for you to remember the thrill, the fun, the pleasure, not the hangover and the heartbreak. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to forget the pain. I don't want you to forget the guilt. Because I want you to, as God said, keep those ashes on your head, around your neck, and put a coat of ashes and sit down in ash heap and remember how wicked the devil is, how sorry sin is. I wish I had the vocabulary to tell you how rotten the devil is. I wish I could tell you exactly what I think about his dirty lies and his deceit. I wish I could tell you where Hollywood ends and where rock music ends and where the soap operas end and where the talk shows end. I know what I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let me tell you what has no ashes. Soul winning has no ashes. Mrs. Hiles has been speaking out in Southern California Thursday and Friday and Saturday. She called me Friday night and told me how the meeting was going, and she just made a little comment, didn't say anything about it, brag about it. She just said, I got to win the maid to Christ in the hotel. That'll have no ashes. That maid will be in heaven as long as there's a heaven. That maid will be with Jesus as long as there's a Jesus. I'm trying to tell you, if you want to have a life that has no ashes, I'm saying it doesn't burn up. I'm saying it doesn't end like that. You live your life in soul winning. You yet live your life in the will of God. You live your life serving Jesus. It pays. I'm trying to tell you, I know. This week alone, listen carefully. This week alone, people have sat in my office representing a total amount, 7 little illegitimate children. I'm not saying one couple had them all. I'm saying the couples that sat in my office this week alone have parented 7 illegitimate children. I wish you could see the tears. Oh, it was fun! The night in the motel, the rustling of the skirt, the thrill of the touch, the joy of the kiss, the excitement of the caress. But let me tell you, sin, when it is finished, brings ashes. And God comes along and God says, don't forget. So easy for you fellows who were saved out of the nightclubs to remember the glamour of the nightclub and not where it all ended up.
to come to my office. Ashes. I'd never tell a name or imply who it is. But there's a little mother sitting across my desk. And my heart's broken in two. She grew up in our church. But she listened to the advertisements of the devil. I want you to know I've never hated the devil in my life like I hate him right now. I feel like that fellow I used to tell you about went to college with me. Big old tall drink of water. He'd been as wicked as the devil. He got saved down in East Texas and got called to preach. And he barely had been saved, so God called him to preach. Within a few weeks, he's at East Texas Baptist College preparing for the ministry. Had 6 kids. They called him up to First Baptist Church in Redwater, Texas, as pastor. And the guy hadn't been saved but 6 months. They called him as pastor. He didn't know much about the Bible. He just knew he was saved, but he had to change his vocabulary almost 100% because he used such wicked language. He got to preaching one morning on the cross, and he got his theology all mixed up, but he sure was right in his heart. He said, the devil put Jesus on the cross. The devil put a crown of thorns on him, and the devil beat him, and the devil put nails in his hands, and the devil put nails in his feet, and the devil crucified him. He said, you know what I think of the devil? And his vocabulary reverted back to the old days. He started cussing like a cussing. He stood up there behind that pulpit and used the filthiest language known to mankind. He said, I'll tell you the heck about the devil. He's the son of a blank. And a blankety blank, son of a blank. And he started running across the pulpit and went back to his old life and cussed for 10 minutes. And the people sat there stunned. Can you imagine how you'd feel if I started cussing like a truck driver when I'm trying to get around me when I'm keeping the speed limit? And finally, this dear brother, who had been cussing the devil for 10 minutes, realized what he had done. He folded his Bible, put it under his arm, walked out the center aisle, got in his car, and sat there and put his head in the steering wheel and began to weep. I knew the guy. The congregation sat stunned in silence. Nobody moved for 5 minutes. Deacon Chairman sitting on the front row. He stood up, looked out to people, tried to think of something to say, and finally said this. Ladies and gentlemen, we all heard what our pastor just said. Never in my life have I ever heard a display of filthy words like I just heard. But he said, I've been sitting here thinking. He expressed my feelings about the devil exactly. All of us know that our pastor lived a wicked life. He hasn't been saved very long. All of us know that our pastor hates the devil. We know that for sure. And he said, I make a motion we call him back and give him a raise in pay. Hey. Let me tell you what I think about the devil. He said, don't break him back a pocket or much of cider rib. What do you think? Raise in pay? Not enough. I'll tell you, boy, I'm for the preacher that cussed the devil out. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, I knew a fella cussed all the time, but never cussed anybody that didn't need a cussing. You sit beside me in my office and see mothers and fathers who've listened to the devil's advertisement, and now a little baby that deserves more than to have a fatherless home and a mother to rear by herself. A little child deserves to come in the world with a mother and a father, and that little child has to be reared without a father. Other kids have a mother and father. You see that like I see it. You see young ladies whose lives have been wrecked and ruined by the devil. You see young men come in who are vegetables, and you'll hate him like I hate him. But let me tell you something. He'll give you a lot of fun. He'll give you some pleasure. He'll give you some laughter. He'll give you some sensuous thrills. And leave you with ashes. I want to tell you something. Nobody's going to want you then. When your life is left with nothing but ashes, ladies, the fellows won't want you then. Because your brow will be furrowed and your face wrinkled
and your shoulders stooped, and your hands unsteady, and your walk unsure, and the devil will throw you out with the rest of the ashes. But I got some good news for you. My Bible said in Isaiah 61:3, Jesus will give you beauty for ashes. He'll give you beauty for ashes. Nobody wants you, but Jesus does. He wants you. The lady sat in my office this week. She's here this morning. No, you won't know who she is. Maybe two or three of you will, but she won't mind me telling you. She didn't want to come to see me. Her life is wrecked. Two little babies born out of wedlock. Each one a different father. Grew up in this church. She sat across my desk. She looked and she said to me, she said, "You're not looking down at me, are you?" And I said, "No, I'm not." She said, "I get the idea that you're not looking down at me." I asked her, I said, "Do you own a dress?" She said, "No." I said, "Won't you go to the mother-daughter banquet tonight?" Her mother was there with her. She said, "I don't even have a dress to wear." I reached to went to my office and pulled out some money and gave her mother $100 bill. And I said, "Go down and buy yourself a dress and buy your daughter a dress." And I gave her daughter enough money to buy her two or three more dresses, to have a little wardrobe of dresses. I believe she's going to make a comeback. Nobody else wants her. The fellow that fathered the first baby doesn't want her. He's getting somebody else pregnant. The fellow that fathered the second baby doesn't want her. He's used her all he wants. I want to tell you, the devil uses you and gives you some thrill, but he's a dirty, rotten, stinking fake. And that's the way you'll end up. That's the way you'll end up. Tried to go to sleep Friday night and I could hear those words. "You're not looking down at me, are you? You're not looking down at me, are you?" "No, I'm not." You know why? Because every one of us is just a sinner saved by grace. This morning I got some news for you. If that's you this morning, sitting in the ash heap of the remains, the fuel of life is nothing left but the ashes. If that's you sitting there, let me tell you, God will give you beauty for ashes. He'll take that life of sin and remake you. He'll change that cap to a cap of joy and that garland to a lay of beautiful flowers and that coat into a coat of righteousness. I wish I'd thought to bring a white robe out here right now and put it over those ashes right there. Don't nobody want you. They won't hire you to be a strip teaser down here at the gentlemen's club. During pastor school, somebody made a horrible mistake. They passed out some brochures because we served meals and during pastor school. And somebody sent out brochures and said, "We're serving a meal at the Sweetheart Couples class on the corner of Seoul and State." Some of our delegates went down to Seoul and State. That's where the gentlemen's club is. That's not the kind of Sweetheart Couples class we have. But that actually happened at pastor school. Well, if I can find out who did that, some heads are going to roll, I'll tell you for sure. But they won't want you down there anymore. Will you weigh 210? Will you got wrinkles on your face? Will you got varicose veins on your legs? Go down and ask for a job. Listen to me. Go ask for a job. Just go down there, ask for a job. When you get about 55 years old or 50 or 60, go down and ask for a job. They'll laugh at you because they're liars. Go ahead and spend your life in rock music. But wait and see how that crowd will chew you up and spit you out. I'm simply saying, folks, don't forget where you came from. People oftentimes say to me, "Brother House, why do you talk about your childhood so much?" One lady got mad at me and wrote me a bitter note, and she said,
I'm sick and tired of hearing about little Jackie boy. You're going to hear about him every time I get a chance. I don't want to forget where I was, how good God's been to me. God said to his people, you're forgiven now, and I've forgotten your sins, but I want you to remember them. I want you to put ashes on your head and ashes around your neck and ashes on wear a coat of ashes. And I want you to look at those ashes and remember how bad it was. Because if you don't watch out, you'll only remember Delilah and not the grinding at the mill. You'll just remember Bathsheba and not that dead little baby. You'll just remember the excitement of drunkenness and not the cursing of your posterity. If you don't watch out, as the Jews did in the wilderness, they'd been eating onions, cucumbers, watermelons, and garlic and leeks in the land of Egypt. They begged to get out. They've been slaves in the brick factories of Egypt. They begged to get out. They get out in the wilderness. Now get this carefully. In front of them is the land of Canaan that flows with milk and honey. But those Jews went to Moses and said to Moses, why did you take us out of Egypt anyway? We're out in the wilderness. We're going to die. We wish we were back there in the land of milk and honey. That's not what was in Egypt. Egypt was leeks and onions and cucumbers and watermelon and garlic. Ladies and gentlemen, I close with this, but let me say it again. For 37 years almost, I've been your preacher. I've sat in my office, and I've wept, and I've wept, and I've wept, and I've wept. I've watched you come. Those that didn't listen to us, I watched you come. A mighty parade like an army walking in. I've watched you come to my office with a broken life, a broken heart, all your dreams splattered on the pavement of the devil's price. I've watched you come. Don't listen to him. Put the ashes on and remember the bitterness of sin. And don't listen to the devil. But if you have. I told the lady at my office the other day. She said, you don't act like I thought you'd act. She said, you're different in the pulpit. And I said, you don't understand. In the pulpit, I'm trying to warn people not to go into sin. In the pulpit, I'm saying, don't do it. The devil's a dirty, stinking liar. Don't do it. But once you've done it and come to my office, I don't scream and holler then. I try to pick up the pieces and put the pieces back together. I don't have to look very far in this building this morning to see lives that are rich, whose pieces have been put back together. Don't forget the ashes. And God comes this morning and says, I'll give you beauty for your ashes. He didn't say, I'd like to give you beauty for your lay. I'll give you beauty for your flowers. I'll give you beauty for your tuxedo. I'll give you beauty for your top hat. I'll give you beauty for your derby. No, sir. God said, you just bring your ashes to me. And I'll give you beauty for ashes. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strand that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hand some beauty may remain. Transformed by grace divine, and that wonderful Savior will take today the ashes that you have that have been burned in the fuel of sin. And He alone wants you. He'll forgive you, put the pieces back together, and give you beauty for ashes. Would you bow your heads, please?